Hello, my name is Brian Novoselsky, and I'm an associate editor with Drug Topics. Today, I'm joined by Kayla Shankel and Elisa Bernstein. Shankel is the Vice President of Regulatory Affairs with the Healthcare Distribution Alliance, and Bernstein is the President of Bernstein RX Solutions. Welcome and thank you so much for joining me. Today, we will discuss FDA exemptions in relation to the Drug Supply Chain Security Act, also referred to as the DSCSA. To start us off, can you give me a brief background on the history and purpose of the DSCSA?
So FDA and Congress have been calling for a track and trace system in the United States for nearly a decade before DSCSA was finally passed. There were counterfeit drugs that had been found in the supply chain, and they reached patients in hospitals and community pharmacies. And that was very scary, and it was a wake-up call. And so what DSCSA was intended to do is to bring transparency and accountability into the supply chain by establishing requirements for who can buy and sell drugs in the supply chain. And those are called authorized trading partners. And DSCSA has requirements for identifying product that's in the supply chain. And that's done by establishing a standard product identifier, or kind of like a license plate, for each package. And then there are requirements for tracing the product through the supply chain. And that's done by establishing transaction documentation requirements that must be passed between trading partners for each sale or transfer of the product. And then there's requirements for steps for trading partners that they must take if they find suspect or illegitimate product, problematic product in the supply chain. And all this is intended to keep legitimate product in the supply chain and keep illegitimate product out. And DSCSA also includes the establishment of a national licensing scheme for wholesale distributors, but that's still a work in progress. And FDA is finalizing those regulations. So DSCSA took a long time to come into law, but it was developed as a collaborative effort with Congress, manufacturers, wholesalers, pharmacies or dispensers, and the FDA. And really, it's very exciting that finally it's coming to fruition, because it was a 10-year stepwise process that was intended to get to where we are now, though it's taken a little bit longer, and we'll talk about that in a bit.
So I guess moving more to kind of recent developments within DSCSA, on October 9th, the FDA issued exemptions for eligible trading partners to comply with the final requirements of DSCSA. Why did the FDA make this decision?
Sure, I'm happy to take that one. There are several factors and reasons why the FDA made that decision, but to really give more context, I want to back up and discuss really what just happened and give a little more context. So for the past year, we've been in a stabilization period issued by the FDA, which really meant that the supply chain had a little more time to implement what is called kind of the last requirements of the DSCSA, which is really to have electronic interoperable data exchange for each product from trading partner to trading partner. So the FDA gave this sort of stabilization period over the past year for trading partners to work on that electronic interoperable data exchange. And that stabilization period was set to expire at the end of November 27th of this year. And really, stabilization was needed because without any DSCSA compliant data exchange flowing from trading partner to trading partner, distributors cannot lawfully purchase products from upstream trading partners. And then in turn, they can't provide complete serialized data down to their customers downstream. So there were some common issues during the stabilization period, specifically distributors. My position here at HDA, we were hearing from distributor members that if a trading partner was upstream, wasn't able to provide serialized data for some transactions or for some products, if they were providing that, that the data would be incomplete or inaccurate. And then there were some trading partners that are not providing or were not providing serialized transaction data at all prior to delivery of the product. And so there was just a lot of hiccups going on in the supply chain, and sort of around the summer, a movement specifically emanating from the National Association of Chain Drug Stores, or NACDS, and HDA, began to talk to their members, and it became clear that a little more time for trading partners might be a good idea. And so NACDS was the first mover. They submitted a letter to FDA on July 29th requesting the FDA adopt a kind of a phased approach for additional time for the supply chain to stabilize beyond just this year. And then HDA also echoed that support for NACDS and then also a support for a phased approach for additional time for trading partners to stabilize. And so that's exactly what the FDA did on October 9th is they issued a series of exemptions for supply chain trading partners upstream and downstream and for distributors in the middle for various dates that kind of collectively create a phased approach to implementation of these final electronic and interoperable requirements, data exchange requirements. The FDA recognized that there were still some things that needed to be fixed, that there were still some gaps between data exchange with trading partners, and that those gaps could, especially right now in a kind of an interesting time in the supply chain, could create or could contribute to public health issues like additional exacerbation of drug shortages or just product not being able to quickly and swiftly flow through the supply chain because of, for lack of better words, clerical data exchange issues. And so the FDA recognized that and told trading partners, okay, manufacturers, you have time to stabilize from May 27th, 2025. Wholesale distributors, you have time to stabilize until August 27th, 2025. And then dispensers who have 26 or more full-time employees, you have time to stabilize for an entire year till November 27th of next year.
Sticking with kind of the idea of that stabilization period, how is this recent FDA decision different from the previous stabilization period created in 2023?
So what's different is in this exemption, trading partners need to be eligible trading partners in order to qualify to get the extra time. So what does that mean? It means FDA wants to know that you've tried. And so you're eligible if you've actually initiated your systems and processes to successfully connect or complete those data connections with your immediate trading partners, or you've actually started and that you need a little bit more time to establish it. And so if you weren't fully able to complete all of the connections, then this is the ability to give a little bit more time, but you have to show that you tried. And FDA isn't giving a free pass this time. They gave that during the first stabilization period, and they expect trading partners will use this time towards compliance. And they're giving more time because they recognize that trading partners, as Kayla just said, needed a little bit more time and they were at different levels of implementation. So that's what this is intended to do. It's not another full year. And the other element that's different is that FDA finally, after many stakeholders urged FDA to stagger implementation, and they did just that. So data flows downstream and connections flow downstream. So by staggering the implementation, it allows, like, let's say for a wholesaler who's in the middle of the supply chain to turn upstream and stabilize those connections with manufacturers first, and then turn more downstream, having more time to stabilize the connections with dispensers. And then the other final difference is the first stabilization period was enforcement discretion. And this means that FDA won't take action for noncompliance with the law under the conditions that they established in that stabilization compliance policy. So enforcement discretion is something that FDA basically says, all right, we're not going to enforce, we're not going to take action unless you do XYZ, which was in that compliance policy. But the requirement of DSCSA went into effect by law, November 27, 2023. So although enforcement discretion is FDA's statement regarding its actions, states don't have to follow federal enforcement discretion. So there was still some vulnerability for state action. And because DSCSA preempts state laws and requires states to follow DSCSA, a statement of discretion by the feds, as I said, doesn't need to be followed. So what the new action is an exemption, and this is provided into the law. And the law, the preemption provision in the law says states, you need to honor any federal waiver, exception, or exemption. So under this action, trading partners should not be subject to state enforcement actions for noncompliance if they follow the exemption conditions. So this is really important because now if you're not complying and a state inspector comes in and says, oh, you should be following DSCSA, if you show them the exemption and you're following all the conditions under the exemption, that state should not be taking action for your noncompliance while you're in this extra period of time.
Definitely a lot of kind of wheels turning throughout this whole process. You touched a little bit on connections. I want to stay on that. What are some issues that distributors report in reaching connectivity?
A lot of our members that we talked to, you know, they said that connectivity actually was going quite well, but it really was the actual exchange of data between trading partners that was still needed some additional time for stabilization. So as I mentioned before, some members had mentioned that if trading partners were able to provide serialized data, some transactions for some products, that transaction data might be incomplete or inaccurate. And then in other instances, trading partners who were not providing serialized transaction data at all, or if they weren't doing it prior to delivery of the product, which is a requirement under the law. But distributors have taken steps, much like other trading partners throughout the supply chain, to improve connections and data exchange. Recent examples I've heard are that trading partners are issuing scorecards upstream to their trading partners, just giving, you know, examples of gaps, and strongly encouraging trading partners to migrate to the package level data exchange that enables their compliance. Other members have reported that distributors have used the stabilization period to turn on EPCIS data exchange, or electronic product code information services, known as EPCIS data exchange, and package level systems well in advance of the upcoming November 27th date. And this was able, they were enabled them to be able to scrutinize transaction data and identify errors and gaps and address problems and discrepancies with trading partners. And then I've also heard members say that, you know, they've really upped their communication with their upstream trading partners to encourage manufacturers to swiftly work through any data exchange issues. But of course, there are still issues left to stabilize. And so while there's been progress onboarding manufacturers for distributors, challenges remain with onboarding. So that would be existing manufacturers. Challenges do remain with onboarding new manufacturers because you don't know those trading partners yet, so you don't know the issues that might arise. And then some have stated, or members have stated, that data exchange is lagging between existing manufacturers because there's no active enforcement. And so this exemption does provide additional time. But again, to reiterate what Alisa mentioned, this is for trading partners that are trying. This is for trading partners that have made connections or have documented that they've made connections. The exemptions are not for trading partners that are simply not trying. And those trading partners would be subject to active enforcement. And then finally, there's still a lot of stabilization needed for passing data downstream. And that is just merely because of how the law is set up, that, you know, you have to stabilize upstream with your manufacturer trading partner before you can really pass data downstream. And that's why this phased approach that the FDA implemented through its recent exemptions is so critical to ultimately getting everybody in the supply chain up to speed and compliance.
Obviously, you guys kind of touched on the connections and the relevant relationships within the drug supply chain. So kind of staying on that, how can distributors and pharmacists work together to ensure that they're ready for the law to go into effect in 2025?
You know, we're recording this during American Pharmacist Month. And I'm a pharmacist, so I would be remiss not to add that to this podcast. But the relationship that pharmacists and wholesalers have is important. And the dispensers interact daily every day with the wholesalers, and the wholesalers do and interact with pharmacists as well. But they're interacting on things that may not necessarily be DSCSA right now. And it's really important that those trading partners between the wholesalers and the dispensers have open and often lines of communication specifically about DSCSA, at least start that conversation. For dispensers, many assume that they qualify for the small dispenser exemption without understanding the scope of the exemption. So it's like, oh, I'm a small dispenser, so I qualify. But wholesalers are in a critical position to educate those dispensers and customers and help them with compliance and exchange of information. And for the most part, for independents, they've been using their portals that are offered by the wholesalers to comply with the current requirements. So the wholesalers can remind them, the dispensers, how they can get their lot level transaction information. So that's the starting point. So even if they qualify for the 2-year exemption, if they want to, or if they want to accept information through a third party, these early conversations should be happening. And hopefully they've progressed beyond early conversations. But so far, what we've been hearing for the most part, at least on the conversations with the wholesalers and the dispensers, the independents, is those conversations aren't as frequent as they should be. And that's what should be happening during this exemption period.
I also wanted to second Happy American Pharmacist Month. Our distributor members are very appreciative of their pharmacy customers and the pharmacists that work within those pharmacies. And so we are very happy to provide this update on DSCSA during American Pharmacist Month. And I would also highlight that we're talking about, those last requirements of the DSCSA that are currently subject to the exemptions, but there are significant parts of the DSCSA that are in effect right now that dispensers and distributors should be aware of. And HGAs and many in the supply chain have provided a lot of education, both upstream and downstream, to trading partners about what those requirements are. And so, as we look forward to, how can we ensure that trading partners are ready for the law to go into effect 2025, you have to acknowledge that there already are requirements under the law that are already in effect. And so the first step is making sure you're complying with those requirements. I'd also highlight that the exemptions from October 9th had a critical contingency in that trading partners who wanted to take the exemptions need to do, and that is to provide trading partner notification. So FDA is expecting all eligible trading partners to communicate that their reliance on these exemptions. They have to communicate those to the trading partners and also communicate that those extend to the certain products that are being traded both upstream and downstream. The FDA is a little broad on the notification, how that notification should occur. The FDA says it could be in a readily accessible resource or communication and should also provide a mechanism by which trading partners can confirm the applicability of the exemptions. So that's fairly broad, but I do think as you look forward to taking these exemptions, that you make sure that you meet that condition. And then finally, as we look past 2025, once these exemptions, again, they are phased out over the next year. Once the total phase out is done, trading partners should consider submitting a request under what is called the waiver exception or exemption process, or the WE process, which a lot of trading partners did leading up to this October 9th announcement, which is essentially you raising your hand and saying to the FDA, hey, for this select group of product or for these transactions, we're going to need a little more time. And so we are submitting a request to the FDA to provide an exemption for that time. So there are individual exemptions that trading partners can consider applying for after 2025.
Kind of moving forward to how trading partners can kind of find help and resources. What resources can dispensers access if they're confused about some of the expected requirements?
I'll take that one because I worked on this when I was at the American Pharmacists Association working with the HDA as well. So there's been a great collaboration between HDA representing the wholesalers, NABP representing the boards of pharmacy, and then several pharmacy organizations, APHA, ASHP, NCPA. Together, we developed a website that's specific for dispensers, and the URL is really simple. So you shouldn't forget it, dscsa.pharmacy. That's really easy. And there you can find information from each organization that is compiled in a single website. And I think the other really helpful website or web page is FDA, because they have a web page specifically for dispensers as well. And they recently updated. Just Google FDA and DSCSA and dispensers, and you should be able to find it. And it's and it was just updated recently, knowing that from FDA that dispensers are ones that really are in need of more information to really understand, particularly because of the exemptions that are in place for small dispensers. And I think finally, and I used to work at FDA and worked on this DSCSA, and FDA has really helpful people available to answer questions. And also at their website, there's an email address that you can go to if you have questions and send them to them.
I have one more question, and I think this is going to be more geared toward Kayla. But how is the HDA helping the pharmaceutical industry reach full implementation in 2025?
Sure. So HDA has long supported the successful implementation of this law, and we're going to continue to do so throughout this period. We regularly communicate with stakeholders, as Elisa has mentioned, external stakeholders, NACDS, MCPA, you know, the whole pharmacy community, and we do produce significant educational resources for those stakeholders. We also at HDA have industry meetings where stakeholders can connect with their peers who are working on DSCSA implementation at their companies. They can hear common concerns, hot topics, emerging issues, and these industry meetings are called HDA's Traceability Seminar, which is often held in August. It might actually have to be held next year, a little earlier, given how the phased approach timeline is rolling out. And then we also have a pretty significant traceability track at our annual conference, which is called the Distribution Management Conference. So I would shameless plug for those conferences if you're interested in learning more. They're not just for distributors. We have lots of manufacturers that come to these conferences. And then we do have a significant, actually, dispenser community that comes to those conferences as well. So we do have sessions that are geared towards those sectors. HDA also continues to talk regularly with the team over at FDA on DSCSA implementation on behalf of our members and the industry broadly. We flag issues and concerns and even successes so that the agency can have a better understanding of where stakeholders are and working to get systems and processes up to speed and data exchange flowing. So in 2025 and beyond, HDA will continue to do exactly that. Again, not only for the upcoming year, but in years to come.
Thank you guys so much for joining me today. I thought this was a really good discussion about DSCSA.
Thank you.